Blog Talk Radio.
Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
And good morning, it is Saturday, April 3rd, and it is actually looking better this week than it did earlier this week with all the storms, wind, and other fun stuff, or at least here in Eugene. How about in your area there, Cliff?
Gonna go away. I don't think we're in for good weather yet. We've had, we've already had rain this morning and a little bit of sunshine, and the sunshine is now diminishing again all in the last hour. So we're going to get it all. Another one of those days where we're going to get it all.
Just typical Oregon.
Yesterday was kind of interesting because I was sitting here watching, and it was, and as a matter of fact, I just went over and turned the heat down because the sun was streaming in the windows and it was all warming up and everything was being great. And 5 minutes later, I looked out there and hail was falling. And so it was, you know, same as snowing. So, and big hail. So you just never know. Just, you know, you've got at least two or three more weeks to just sit back and enjoy everything, and then maybe spring will come. You never know.
Well, at least it's not boring. We got variety.
Well, yeah, weather is not boring in Oregon. No, it's definitely not boring. Definitely. Now, day before yesterday, we had quite a bit of wind.
Yeah, yesterday I had to. We had a lot of heavy winds, heavy rain. And I had to make deliveries up in the Portland area, and by the time I got up there, I looked like a wet puppy dog.
Now that's a long ways away from us, basically, and how much different was the weather up there?
It was actually kind of a variety. One of the areas I had to go to was over in Staten, and I was teasing my receiver that, I had to go through heavy winds, heavy rain, and your parking lot's not even wet. It was sunshiny. It's like, I'm moving to Staten.
Actually, Staten, there's a guy named John Zolkowski in Staten, Oregon, who built and designed a radio station broadcasting automation program. And he did a very, very nice job of it. I've used it in two radio stations. And it's very reasonable and does a very nice job. And congratulations to him. So Staten's sort of famous, at least to me. Not to the rest of the world, but it is to me. I've never been there.
Yeah. Well, I like Staten, although I've only been there, I think, once or twice. And Newburgh was one of my deliveries yesterday. I tell you, Newburgh, not to put everybody down there, but when you're driving a big truck, and the big truck is backing up, and there's just a little bit of room between one side of your truck and the curb. And, you know, the truck's got their flashers going, and they are obviously backing and moving and doing something. Don't try to squeeze in between the two. It's like, I always watch my mirrors. I always look around for people that try and do that. And once they went ahead and squeezed through, I went ahead and tried to continue my maneuver. And there's three other people that, it's like, I felt like I had a treat and the dogs were ready to, pouncing in to eat on it. And finally just said, okay, screw this. I just parked across the parking lot somewhere and went ahead and pushed my carts in, halfway across the parking lot. Would somebody try to run me over pushing a cart in Newburgh?
Well, maybe Newburgh is a place to stay away from.
Maybe.
I mean, even drop walking in the parking lot, you get run over.
Yeah, they just don't like newcomers. Like, welcome to Newburgh. We will kill you. COVID. Well. Anyways, what we don't want people to go away is hopefully some people will call into the show. And to do that, Cliff, would you like to tell them how somebody can do that?
I suppose I could do that. Let me see if I can bring that up. No, as a matter of fact, I can't, so I'll let you do that.
Okay.
Basically, there are lots of ways you can communicate with us. One is talk at krbnradio.com. That's something, you know, I think there should be more people emailing us. This is one of the things. Maybe we've got to come up with a form. Maybe I'll build a form to put on our website so that they don't actually have to use email. They can just fill out the form and click, and we'll get it. That's a thought. Maybe we'll do that.
Yeah.
They could also do it even easier, and that's call us on the phone. How do they do that?
They can do that by dialing 646-721-9887. And what happens is you can also listen to the show live, too, by the way, by dialing that number. And when you would like to participate, just press the number 1, and a little hand comes up on my board. And I will say, if you're calling from area code 541, I'll say area code 541, welcome to the show, unless there's 5 541s, and I'll give a little bit more distinction. But on my board, it just comes up with a phone number and a hand that says, I'd like to chime in. And we would really like to, we've had a couple guests on the show and a couple callers, but we'd really like to put this neat little feature to work here. So try it out, 646-721-9887. The chat room is also open, www.blogtalkradio.com/KRBN. We'd like to hear from you. So if you've never called a talk show before, even though this is the Internet, it's good practice. So give us a call.
Internet or not, there's still actually more people that can hear that can hear us than there is on any other system. So you might want to consider that. I mean, there's no radio station, terrestrial radio station, that covers as much area as do we, potentially.
Oh, absolutely. And although during the live show, which we do have a question put out there to people regarding our schedule, is that although we don't have currently, because we're still pretty new, we've only done 14 shows so far. Well, last night makes it 15 with Trucker Talk. We do have a pretty good number of people that are listening to us from the archives, and I'm very pleased with that. But anyways, one of the polls or one of the questions we're putting out to our listeners is our time slot. Currently, we are weekly, every Saturday morning, right now, between 7 and 11. And 7-Eleven? That's a store. 10 to 11. And we're thinking about bumping it up to 11 o'clock, make it 11 to 12. And we'd like you, the listener, to chime in on feedback on that and see if that schedule would work better for you.
Remember coming out at 7.
What's that?
I don't remember coming on at 7.
I don't either. That's too early.
Actually, we did at 7 last night.
That's true.
Yes. Anyway, okay. So much for that. But yeah, let us know. Maybe it's better if we come on later in the morning, or at least a little later in the morning. Got to remember, though, that at 10 o'clock here, it's already 1 o'clock on the East Coast and in the United States. So we don't want to get too much later. We'll be in the next day.
That's true. Anyways, to the show. We don't really have a topic per se scheduled, but we do have, Cliff's got some items, and I got one or two items wanted to bring up. One of the issues that I wanted to bring up was what happened in Arizona this week with a rancher who was killed in, I've got too many old windows open here. This rancher, he's a prominent rancher in the Arizona area. He's a southeast rancher, and his name's Robert Krentz. He's 58, and he was... him and his family, they've owned this ranch since 1907, and he radioed his brother one night that he was aiding an illegal alien, giving him water, and that was the last that his brother heard from him. They sent out a search party for him and found both him and his dog shot by a 9mm. So they're assuming that the illegal alien, for whatever reason, decided to shoot him. They're thinking that it may have been a scout for one of their coyotes or...
Coyotes? What is a coyote?
Coyote, I believe, is somebody that brings illegals over the border. But I have a soundbite from Fox News that I'd like to play regarding this. It'll explain a little bit better.
It's passed now. There's an investigation underway in Arizona after a prominent rancher is found murdered on his own property near the Mexican border. 58-year-old Robert Krentz found shot, shown here. Authorities now saying he was likely killed by an illegal immigrant. William LaGenesse is live outside Douglas, Arizona. What's more about this rancher? William, good morning.
Well, Bill, what would happen here has ranchers warning that they're going to take matters into their own hands if the administration refuses to secure the border, that this area of southeast Arizona has become increasingly violent and active and really a smuggling superhighway. Now, 58-year-old Robert Krentz, Bill, he's been a rancher here for four generations, dating back to 1907. The ranch has been in his family. Saturday morning, he's on his ATV with his dog, fixing fences and mending water lines when he was going to assist, he radioed his brother, an illegal immigrant on the property. When they didn't hear from him, they brought in search and rescue teams. They found him at 11 o'clock at night, slumped over his ATV. He had been shot once. His dog was also shot. And what police speculate happened is this. One, this guy, this illegal immigrant, may have been a cartel scout looking through the area to get a load through. Number two, he may have been part of an armed robbery ring, if you will, of illegals in the area. Some 9mm guns were taken about a week earlier. He was shot with a 9mm. And thirdly, that it may have been retaliation. 2 days earlier on the Krentz property, a 35,000-acre ranch, they had stopped a group of eight illegals with 290 pounds of pot. Those illegals were arrested. The drugs were seized. That this may have been retaliation.
And that was Fox News on March 31st.
On some pot, that's quite a bit, isn't it?
Yeah, and his brother found the pot a couple days earlier. That's why they're thinking it might be retaliation for it. According to the article, Border Patrol authorities found the pot and traced it back to Mexico, which is about 20 miles. So between the trackers and everything, that's where they traced it back to the Mexico border, about 290 pounds of marijuana.
I don't quite understand why this guy, you know, if he's lived down there and had this ranch for so many years, why would he be aiding and abetting someone? And it seems to me like if he's been around that long, he'd be a little more knowledgeable as to who was and who was not someone you can trust, for heaven's sakes. So I think I would be a little more inclined to think someone else may have shot him. A 9mm round, that's what the authorities use, isn't it?
That I don't know.
If you watch CSI and all the rest of these, I think that's what they use. I'm a real expert because I watch television. But anyway.
It has to be true.
Exactly. If it's on TV, that's like it used to be. If it was printed in the newspaper, it had to be true. So.
Yeah, I don't know what they use, but the...
whole point of the thing is that you... You need to kind of stay away from that whole thing. If you're not a part of it, and you don't understand what's going on, then keep your nose out of things because it's not, you know, when everything you're doing is against the law, it doesn't make any difference if you do something that's even worse. So you know you're going to get caught. If you're going to get caught, it's going to be bad no matter what. So why not just do anything you want to? And that's exactly what they do. So. For us, in this particular case, the innocent, shall we say, keep your nose out of it, is my answer.
Well, I think that what's been going on there is that they, according to the article, that this has been going on for a long time, and the ranchers are also complaining that it cost them a lot of money because the cattle... A lot of cattle are not used to having people around, so having people cut through their land is spooking the cattle. They're not producing as much. And I just wanted to add that from TomV39, who's in our chat room right now, who comments that the 9mm handgun is one of the most popular guns used by criminals and law enforcement alike. Thank you, Tom.
All right. So everybody uses the silly thing. All right. Well, that's probably more to the point than anything else. So the thing I want to put across is, you know, you're talking about the spooking the cattle and upsetting the ranchers and things like that. This is not something that's new. This is not something that's just started. This has been going on for years and years and years. So, you know, if that rancher intends to stay down there, I mean, we haven't just recently started having problems with immigrants. It's been going on for a long time. Perhaps the difference is that we were out there, you know, doing Wild West shootouts nowadays. Police and or authorities, whatever they are, and the illegal immigrants. And so that would be what I would think is disturbing the cattle and the farmers and things like that. But again, I understand that it's kind of upsetting, but you know, if it's going to be that bad, get the hell out of there and leave it, because it's not going to be fixed right away. Basically, this is it might be, though, because that might be President Obama's next step might be to just, you know, give all of the illegal immigrants free reign again, in which case then we don't have that problem. It's all just drugs now. And isn't it California that just decided to legalize the drugs? And if we legalize the drugs, we may just end the whole problem down there, or at least most of it. So who knows? Things may be coming around soon. We've got the health thing out of the way, and now we can worry about the illegal immigrants.
Exactly. Well, as somebody pointed out, and I don't have the source in front of me, is that unless you can't fix the internal problem until you cut off the source. And the federal government has basically, they've let down the people of Arizona by not enforcing the borders. In fact, after the fact, which I kind of commented on my blog, is that after the horse got out of the barn, so to speak, now they locked the doors, and politicians are coming out of the woodwork to try to make themselves look good. Like, for example, Senator John McCain of Arizona, along with Governor Jan Brewer, both called for federal officials to send more National Guard troops down to the Mexican border. They're stating that, and this is a quote, that the federal government must do all it can within its power to curb this violence and protect its citizens from criminals coming across the border from Mexico. McCain wrote in a letter to the Homeland Security Secretary Napolitano, former Arizona governor. Oh, yeah, sure. It takes somebody getting shot for them to come out of the woodwork and say, okay, yeah, we should have done this. Even the Arizona Attorney General, Terry Goddard.
Wait a minute. It takes somebody getting shot? It takes the right person getting shot. We've had hundreds and hundreds of people killed down there, not just one.
Well, that's true. Because Kurtz was or Krentz was a prominent farmer down there, very well known. I guess he was three generations. You're right. It took somebody that was more well known out there to get shot, unfortunately, to really bring it up to the headlines and bring the issue out again for discussion.
We need to change our attitude on this. First of all, this is all just very upsetting to me, because we're doing all of this. We're sending people down there to get shot. We're sending people down there to get hurt and maimed and all this sort of thing. And then we're going to give amnesty to all of the immigrants anyway. And we're never going to do anything about the drug thing until we actually attack it from our end. This whole business about, you know, we can't do anything until we stop the source, that's not true. You're not going to stop the source. We've got to work at it from within, and we're not doing that. So we need to come up with some sort of a new plan, or at least, actually, it's not a new plan that we need to come up with. It's a plan that we need to come up with. We just don't have anything. We're sitting here, you know, doing nothing. effectively.
Well, and that's the thing. It's not like we don't have the laws on the books. We just need to enforce them. And the same argument as, well, fix our system or create a path. There is a path. There is a front door to come through. Unfortunately, it may take years to do it, but there is a process. It's not perfect. But coming in through the window and then claiming, oh, I'm here now, I think that I should now be allowed to stay here.
I think you should be allowed to stay here. I think you should be allowed to stay here as long as you want, but you should not be given citizen status. You should not be given unemployment. You should not be given welfare or whatever it's called now. You should not be given health care services if you're not an actual citizen. So, they can stay here. They can work here as far as I'm concerned because they are obviously performing a service. If they weren't, they wouldn't be employed and there would be no incentive for them to come here. But so there is obviously a place for them, but we shouldn't be being over backwards to ask them to be here and then tell them they can't. I mean, we're not doing this properly. We're not even doing it kosher. This is just insane what we're doing right now.
So you're saying that it's okay that the borders are open then?
I think the border should be wide open. The only way we're going to stop this, the only thing we're going to do to fix this, and everybody's going to get really mad at me for this, the only way we're going to stop this is the NAFTA thing. The only way we're going to do this is to equalize wages and salaries and things between the United States and in Mexico.
How does NAFTA have anything to do with people sneaking across the border and taking the jobs for sub-minimum wage?
It allows our businesses to go down there and the wages won't be sub-minimum anymore. It will raise the standard of living in Mexico. But see, the unfortunate part of it is that everybody hates is it's going to lower the standard of living in the United States a little bit in order to raise it there. And so that's what everybody's uptight about. This business, we're talking about outsourcing jobs and things. When you're talking about Mexico, that ain't outsourcing. That's basically the same thing as here. We have American companies go to Canada and build things, and nobody gets upset. But when they go to Mexico and do things, everybody gets upset. And why? Because the huge difference between the wages and supposedly standard of living that the Mexican people live under. So until we can do something about that and raise their standard of living, nothing's going to change.
Well, and what's lowering, you make a good point in the fact that what's lowering our standard of living per se is the companies that are hiring people at slave labor wages, which is making it harder. For one thing, it's lowering the price that employers are willing to pay, like say in this area, for example. One of the companies I used to work for, doing the same job at one of their other locations in the United States paid a couple dollars more an hour. And they said the reason why they pay what they pay here is because this is what the economy supports. We can get away with paying less. But when you can go out and hire and get away with hiring people that, for one, they don't have the right to work in the United States, and you can pay them $3, $4, or $5 an hour and not pay the benefits and taxes and everything else that goes with it, and there's no penalty for doing it, why not?
Yeah, I say that's fine. Why not? Okay, let them do that. And I'm not telling you I believe that you should pay people only $3 or $4 an hour. But my point is, if we do not give those illegal immigrants that are getting this $3 and $5 an hour, if we don't give them the benefits that the American citizens are getting, then they're not going to want to be here nearly as much. And if there's not as many of them coming here, then the cost to pay them is going to go up. And like it or not, they're going to get better wages. And you know, it's all going to equalize out, but you've got to start following the laws. You've got to start enforcing laws and following the rules until you do, because, you know, that's the whole reason those laws and rules were there. But if we just decide to ignore some of them and ignore and follow others, then what happens is that you have to make new laws to take care of what's going on. And we shouldn't be doing that. We should, you know, this business of trying to stop everybody at the border, this is not, well, we're acting like Soviet Union and doing things like that. And that's ridiculous. That didn't work. We know it didn't work. Watch. So we've got to come up with a different system. We've got to start doing it from within instead of trying to put up a wall, and because that wall isn't going to work.
Well, you touched on a really good thing, is that we need to enforce the laws, and the employers that skirt the laws have got to, well, just like Del Monte, I think it was, Fresh Del Monte in Portland, when they got raided, the owners actually did jail time for that. But let me bring up a real quick here. This is from the March 26, 2010 New York Times. Phoenix, Arizona, a raid targeting illegal immigration led to arrest of 21 Phoenix area McDonald's workers Friday. So what is McDonald's doing hiring illegal aliens, especially when there's Arizona, I believe, has a 10% unemployment rate, and they're hiring illegal aliens to take jobs at, McDonald's hires a lot of teenagers, and they also hire a lot of retired people.
How hard is it to decide who's an illegal alien?
How hard is it to decide? Well, there's a thing called an I-9 form where you're supposed to prove that you have the right to work in the United States.
And how many illegal aliens do you think have illegal Social Security cards?
Well, since that's you have to have an I-10 number or a Social Security number to get the job, I would say probably a good number of them.
Every possible legal form and thing that you're supposed to have to become a worker, you're going to have. So, you know, for the employer to have to be able to decide who is and who isn't an illegal alien is not something that the employer should have to do. So we need to come up with a different system to either identify these illegal aliens. And of course, that's not going to work, because that's the whole point. They're illegal. Hello. So they're going to try to do this without getting caught. And so consequently, we have to come up with a way to make these illegal aliens legal aliens, but with a different status. And that's what we're not doing. We're not recognizing the fact that there is a place for them. And when you're that close to the border, for example, when you're that close to the source of these people, there are obviously going to be huge amounts more. So again, it should not be up to the employer to determine that. It should be up to our federal government and our state governments to make that determination less or unnecessary. Again, that's a real hard thing to think about, because that means we literally have to fix the problem, and we aren't even trying to do that. We really aren't even trying to do that. All we're doing is we're not even putting a Band-Aid on it, for God's sakes. We're looking at the puncture wound on your arm, and putting model airplane glue around it or something. You know, it's stupid what we're doing, and we've got to come up with a better idea.
Well, the thing is, by having a separate card, what you're doing is creating a subclass of citizens, for one thing, and you're putting a Band-Aid, again, like you say, on on people that broke the law to come over here. Secondly, putting it on the employers. I owned my business when the I-9 system came out, and the reason why they have to we had to do that is because there had to be some way to verify that a person had the legal right to work, because it got out of hand. There is a system called the E-Verify that employers can call in to match the name to the Social Security. But the other thing that it may lead up to, and there has been talk about this for quite a while, and the Obama administration has suggested this, is a national ID card using the biometric system for identity to, quote, prove or to verify that you have the legal right to work in the United States, and supposedly this card, just like the new money that came out, cannot be copied or altered.
Everything can be copied and forged, especially in this day and age with computers and the electronic systems that we have. But any kind of identification card, any kind of a form, is a waste of your time. Plus the fact, you know, the idea that you should find the wrong one and then trace it down and all that sort of thing through the e-whatever-it-is system is insane. Basically, you as an employer should be required to send identification of everyone you hire, period. Everyone you hire. Just send that in. Then there should be an organization or whatever you want to call them, a group of people that are federally funded to sort this out, because it shouldn't have to be your problem. It's not your problem that allowed them there in the first place, and so it should not be your problem to solve the government's lack of action.
Well, and that's the point right there, is that there is no accountability. Yes, I had to have the I-9 form filled out for every employee that I had, and it's still required to this day. Nobody asked me for it. All I had to do is put it in my files. I didn't have to send it in. The only way that the government even knew who was working for me is when I send in my quarterlies, I had to send in everybody's name and Social Security number along with that report. Now, there'd be a way that you could kind of verify everything, assuming, of course, that you don't have the same name and showing up on 15 different Social Security numbers. In other words, all over the nation, this one person's working in five different states at the same time. That might be a red flag, but
all kinds of red flags. But like you say, you had to send in information. You're sending stuff to the federal government anyway, so it should be up to them to sort this out. You can't do it, like you say. Maybe this Social Security number or identification card number or whatever it is, they're working for you in this state, and then they're working for somebody else in another state, and somebody else in another state. You can't know that, and there's no way you can find out. But there is a way the federal government can find out, because computers do things so quickly and so thoroughly that every time you send stuff in, as soon as that number pops up and it shows up in four different places, and the computer itself can notify you of this. You don't have to be watching it. It all can be automated.
Well, that's
as much as...
And like you say, quit bending the rules or quit ignoring the rules to accommodate. Like, for example, this is from the Oregonian. This is March 9th. All first graders in Ashland School District to learn Spanish next year, and they're going to do that for each year through the 12th grade. Okay, I got nothing against learning a second language, but if I had children in school, I would be furious that they're going to force my child to learn one particular language. And
would you be upset? After English, it's the most used language in the world. Why would you be upset at that? It gives them the best advantage to being able to get along in life of any other language.
Well, what gets me upset is the way that this current trend is going. How many jobs, I've lost count of how many jobs that I'm fully qualified for, except for one thing, that I'm not bilingual.
I don't want to get into that. The last three radio station jobs I lost were to Spanish-speaking people because the station went to Mexican.
Right, and that's the way things are going. Even the state of Oregon will pay you 5% more if you speak Spanish than if you do any other language.
I'm really upset that I didn't learn Spanish in school. I could be working at those stations. I could be doing all kinds of things, but I didn't learn Spanish. I have a terrible time learning a language, and I'm sure if I had been taught when I was a little kid, I would have learned it much easier and much quicker and be proficient in it. I lived in eastern Washington over there, and I interacted with an awful lot of people, and some of those were Mexican kids. I remember my son brought home a friend who, and here's the sad part, this young man, was 16 years old, okay? Maybe he was 15, I don't know, somewhere around. Anyway, when Bobby brought him into the household and I met him, I talked to him and everything sounded fine. This young man was born in the United States. He was born right there in Eastern Washington, lived his entire life in Eastern Washington, and still English was his second language, his second language. And once I got to know this kid, and we used to sit down and talk, and there were huge amounts of things that unfortunately he was going to school, was passing, doing good, you know, it wasn't outstanding or anything, but doing C work in school, in high school and everything. And yet we came home and I was talking about something, because I, being in the radio industry, I get into the news and the current events and things like that, and I was talking about something, and he didn't understand it. Well, being one-on-one and we were friends, he could ask me questions, and I discovered that there was a huge amount of information that this poor young man didn't know, because they didn't take the time in school for him to be able to ask the questions individually or to teach him properly what was going on. And since English was still his second language, because at home, even though they had lived there for 20 years, the family didn't speak English. His mother, his father did not speak English.
And why not?
Well, neither here nor there, why not? And I agree that they should be required to learn the language. Although, see, I have an awful lot of sympathy for you know, illegal immigrants being forced to learn the English language, because I couldn't.
They chose to come over here. If you're going to go to another country, learn the language. I remember a news report where this, I think it was NBC or one of those big ones, where they interviewed this illegal that's been here 14 years. She didn't speak any English, and she said that it was an insult for her to even learn it. And she said, besides that, I don't have to learn it because I live in my little Spanish community over here.
Well, interestingly enough, and in that case of saying that it's an insult for her to have to learn it, yes, that's a tragedy. That is totally a tragedy. This young man's mother and father did actually know enough English to be able to go to the grocery store and buy groceries and do things like this. But they didn't know enough English to be able to actually sit down to discuss any kind of world affairs or philosophy or anything like that in English.
Right.
They just knew basically enough to get along.
Okay, that's a huge difference right there. Some of them don't know any English at all. In fact, I was doing a delivery one time, and I think it was in Oregon, where at the loading dock, the guy was mad at me because I didn't know Spanish. It's like, I'm sorry, dude. This is my country. You know, if you're going to come over to another country, I'm sorry. If I go to another country, especially to live, you've got to learn the native tongue. And instead of forcing our students to learn a particular language, which because of the large growing number of people that are coming over here illegally, they're not coming through the front door, that we have to accommodate them, it should be the other way around.
Here's okay, let's tie this together now, okay? We've got the illegal immigrant who is here, all right? This illegal immigrant hasn't learned English. When I was in Europe and I went to a different country, what I carried around with me is a little English to whatever, we'll call it, we'll say German, English to German or English to Italian or whatever dictionary. And so when I walk into some place and want something, first thing I would do is stand out in front of the store or whatever for a few minutes and pick out some words that would help me so that I could say them in Italian, let's say. But when I would walk in and I would bring out my silly little book and I'm starting to just, you know, go through my book and try to communicate to this person, invariably they probably knew English. If I didn't talk to them and try to use my silly book, they would never talk to me. But since I was at least making an attempt to communicate to them on their level, they would invariably come out and say, well, I speak English. Let's just do that. It's easier. And but that, now tying that back into the illegal immigrant here, they can't do that. They're illegal. So they don't have the opportunity or the privilege of tipping off that they're illegal. They have to try to get along or just not communicate at all. And so that's our big problem. We're not treating them properly. I understand they're illegal, but we need to change our attitude on that to at least give them an opportunity to try to get along and to try to fit in.
Well, and speaking of changing the attitude, one thing it's kind of my soapbox issue, and that's the kids that they bring over here and the life that the kids have to lead because the parents brought them over here 2, 3, 4 years old into another country, which makes them illegal. And a lot of times the kids don't even know it until it's time to go into college. And then they risk the chance of being deported to a country that's really totally foreign to them. And I think it's a form of child abuse to put a kid into that situation willingly, knowing they knew the consequences, just like a burglar going into your home at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, breaking into your home. They know that they're doing wrong. They know the consequences if they get caught. Well, people crossing into another country illegally know what they're doing. They know the risk. They know the consequences. But unfortunately, that two-year-old had no say in it.
You brought up the person breaking into your home and knowing the consequences of getting caught and then putting the illegal alien in there and knowing the consequences of being caught. Because here's the sad part. In this day and age, neither one of them have any consequences. We don't do anything to the burglars. We just, you know, slap them on the wrist and turn them loose, which is exactly what we're doing to our illegal aliens. There is no consequences. That's why they do it, for God's sakes. That's what we've got to change. We've got to finally find a law and enforce it. Some freaking law somewhere. We've got to start enforcing.
And speaking of enforcing, anybody would like to join the conversation, you can call 646-721-9887. We'd love to have you. I think one of the things, though, that did you know that coming into this country illegally is just simply a misdemeanor?
Yeah, that's, well, you know, so why not do it?
The only thing that, you know, once you get deported and come back again, it becomes a felony. But like you said, some people have gone out and come back several times, gotten caught, you know, got deported several times, and nothing has really happened. And so that brings up another issue, like, for example, the U.S. Census, which is a whole other show coming up, where they're talking about the current ad that's running about, you know, we don't know how many more buses to buy if you don't send your census form or whatever, and you got to do it because it's the law. Well, I hate to say it because we are a country of or a nation of laws, but if we're not going to enforce certain laws because a mass number of people decide that they don't want to follow them, why should we care about like the U.S. Census law or any other laws for that matter? We just get a large number of people and say, okay, we're just not going to do this law here, even though there is a process to change it, but we're just not going to do it because this large group of people decide we don't want to do it.
I've got a really good idea. And then I think there are a couple of groups doing this already. I don't know who they are, but let's decide on another law that we're not going to follow, and that's paying our taxes. Let's just stop it. Let's just not bother. And you know, if we can decide certain laws not to follow, why not that one?
Well, that's because, and even the illegal aliens are also afraid of the IRS.
Then why aren't we afraid of the FBI? We're that afraid of the IRS. We should be that afraid of the FBI or CSI or whoever the hell they are coming after you, or the local police department, whoever it is. You know, we've got to start doing this. We've got to start enforcing the laws. And I understand you can't, because we have no money to put them in jail. If we enforced, and then, okay, God, it's a way, interesting way all these things roll into each other. But if we enforced all of the laws, we can't do that because we don't have the prisons. Because if we have so many laws on the books, such a huge amount of laws on the books, that if we enforced all of them, almost all of our population would be in jail. And we don't have that many jails.
Well, you came up with a
that's what I'm getting to. My idea of every 5 years, laws must expire. That's where you were going, but that's where I was going.
expire or come up for review or something.
Expire, that means that they're up for review. You can always put them back in. You can always reinstate them. But if you don't literally take action on them after 5 years, they're gone. They're no longer on the books. And so if you decide to go out, you know, an officer or somebody goes out and enforces a law and comes back and finds out it's not on the books anymore, then somebody's going to start going out there and getting these laws reinstated. So, you know, but it's, you know, what it does is boils down to the most important and the most realistic laws. We have a gargantuan number of laws on the books that are just totally worthless. They're a great idea for one family in one community because it helps them and protects them or something, but the rest of the world doesn't give a damn. And so, you know, we've got to get those give-a-damn laws off the books. We've got to start, you know, the idea that you can't spit on the sidewalks in Springfield was a very good law back when we had wooden sidewalks and you were going to slip and break your neck. Nowadays, it isn't nearly as important as it was before. It may be nice etiquette not to spit on the sidewalks, but if somebody spits on the sidewalks, even if everybody in town spit on the sidewalks, it wouldn't be that difficult to wash them off and keep them walkable. So, you know... really, it's a stupid thing to bring up, but point is we've got an awful lot of superfluous, there I go, I figured our word, laws on the books that need to be gotten rid of.
Well, yeah, and I totally agree with that. And why have laws that you're not going to enforce? Like, again, I'll get back to illegal aliens. In my opinion, Mexico, because, and I bring up Mexico not to be racist, just because that the numbers are a lot higher from immigrants coming from Mexico than Canada or whatever. Mexico has done what Germany and Japan has failed to do, and that is they have successfully and quietly invaded the United States.
No. Not at all. Germany and Japan, because they're kind of all by themselves, but Germany and other countries have successfully solved those problems, by the way, because what they've done is equalized. They've now got the European Union, the common market, whatever you want to call it. And so, you know, wages and things like that are equal amongst the different countries. The countries that are not equal are still invading the countries that are. They have the same problem over there that we have, but we have it on a very small little area of that border, which is not that small. But the only way to fix that is just like the rest of the world has fixed that, is we have to equalize the two countries. You have to equalize the wages and citizenship and things of the two different countries. And we can sit around and play with silly little laws and rules and regulations until hell freezes over, but until we make them equal, as we are significantly more so on the other border, Canada, because you notice since the Canada and we are basically equal, then we don't have that problem in Canada. The only immigration problem we have in Canada is actually people coming from other countries and using Canada as a portal to get into the United States. So until we can equalize the two countries, nothing is going to be done to fix this. So we've got to hit this from a different attitude. We've got to hit it from a totally different attitude.
Well, so you're saying that we should bring Mexico up to our standards because they're all coming over here?
It's down to theirs. I see. We're the ones that's sticking out like a sore thumb. Even Canada is not up to our standards. Canada's wages are lower than ours. Their money is not worth as much as ours, et cetera, et cetera. Actually, for a while there, it was worth more, but that was our fault. And so until we equalize things a little bit more, we're not going to fix it. You know, right now, for example, we've been accusing China of manipulating their currency so that it's so much lower than ours, and thus making our currency that's how they have so much money in savings. We owe them half of the entire United States at this particular point, almost, and because we have no savings. We are not trying to fit in with the rest of the world. We're trying to be elitists, and it's going to kill us, is what it's going to do.
Well, wouldn't it just be better to, like, for example, it's estimated that over 12 million illegal aliens are in the United States, most of them from Mexico. What if the United States would do like it does for other countries, along with those people, to encourage them to go home and to help them with their country? Because from what I understand, Mexico is a very rich country as far as minerals and everything. But in other words, to help them make their country better. I mean, we stick our nose in everybody else's business. Why not do that?
Extremely good point. We stick our nose in everybody else's business. Why the hell aren't we doing it in a helpful way instead of going to Afghanistan and telling them, okay, you have to be like us. Let Pakistan or India tell them that they have to be like them. They're the ones that they need to equalize with, not us. And so we need to pull our people out of Baghdad or out of Iraq, rather, and out of Afghanistan and all of those places and bring them here and put them in Mexico. Yes, I agree with you. Not to fight a war in this particular case, but to help people down there. I mean, we've got to do something. And the idea of letting our companies go to Mexico and build factories and things like that, it's going to hurt our way of living a little in the beginning. And everybody's going to be upset about it in the beginning because that's what everybody is doing at the moment. But overall, what it's going to do is equalize the two countries, and then we're going to see a whole lot less of the problem, period. The only other – now, that solves the equalization and the illegal immigrants that are coming here to work. This does not hit the illegal drug traffic, and that's a separate entire problem, but on the same border.
Well, that's true. But and to take that a step further, focus on why companies are going overseas. Even Microsoft, for example, has threatened to move overseas if they keep raising taxes and expenses. And I know we're not talking about health care, but that is going to put on an exceptional burden on the companies because they're losing one of their major deductions, and that's one of the deductions that they get for providing health care, which I think it is a law that they have to if you have more than 50 employees, but don't quote me on that one.
Don't know either. And by the way, don't kid yourself if you don't think Microsoft already has gone to Mexico.
Well, I'm sure they have, but they're talking about moving their headquarters and everything.
That's symbolic, moving their headquarters. That doesn't mean much of anything, to be honest with you. They can have their headquarters wherever they want it to be. And the only difference with that is there becomes a part where worldwide, if we have our headquarters in the United States, you all of a sudden price yourself out of the market worldwide. So you do have to consider the fact, because that's what's happening. We are being elitist, and everybody is wants more and more and more and more. This is being attacked right now on several fronts, not only by what I'm talking about, but our housing thing that has just fallen apart and is still falling apart is also attacking our elitist situation. This idea of being able to buy a house and then in 5 years it's doubled in price and it's your, you know, that's not supposed to happen. That's not the way the economy is supposed to work. That's not the free enterprise system. For it to gain, value and such is fine, but it should not be your major investment for retiring and such things. And that's what's happened here, is because of the equalization, and that's the name we need to start using, because of the equalization of the monetary system, it has indeed left some unfortunate people who have put their money in their homes and want to use it for their retirement, and the ones that are older and ready to use that have lost a huge amount. So it is going to hurt a lot of people, and this whole system has to hurt a lot of people in the United States while it's helping the people also, because we are the ones that are the fat cats. Sorry, but we are.
Well, from my financial point of view, the only thing that's bad about me is my belly.
I understand that wholly. I'm living on Social Security, which, if anybody knows anything about Social Security, that's impossible. And yet I'm doing it. I'm not quite sure how. I'm certainly not living the way I used to. But it is something that sometimes has to happen, because I'm one of these people who lost their social security, their investment. I didn't have it in a house. I had it in an IRA or whatever the heck it is. And I'm not even financially astute enough to know what the hell it is. All I know is that over half of it went away and doesn't leave much. But that's also my own fault because I sat back and only invested in one thing. I didn't do anything else. I should have been a more, if you're not going to take an active role in your life, then when your life starts screwing up, it's your own fault.
Well, unfortunately, that's true. Anyways, the last 4 minutes of the show, 646-721-9887. Speaking of equalizing, wasn't there a plan, I think it was during the Bush administration, to have like a common currency between Canada, the United States, and Mexico?
Well, between Canada and the United States, we basically do. I mean, right now, right at this particular time, the currency, the Canadian dollar and the American dollar are almost on a par. For a while there, the Canadian dollar was worth significantly less than ours. But the Canadian dollar and our dollar have been on a par for a lot longer than it hasn't been. I remember I used to live up there, and I used to go to Canada almost every weekend or every other weekend for various and sundry things because I was only 60 miles away. And so we'd go up there because that's where the big city is. Vancouver is a huge city, and it's fantastic. But I didn't even consider the currency because it was only within a nickel or so per dollar that it was the same. For a while there, it did actually come down to where the Canadian dollar was worth significantly more than ours, and you had to consider it. And now it's back up to almost on a par again. But the Canadian currency and ours is significantly different, and that is part of what we have to fix. But you have to bring their economy up first. You can't change their currency because by just bringing their currency up to be on a par with ours, what you do is make everybody in Mexico poverty-stricken just about. They couldn't possibly live that way. So you've got to do it a little bit at a time, and ours has to come down a little, yours has to come up a long ways. And that's just a matter of it's going to be time that does it.
Well, this is called the Amero dollar, AMERO, and information is available for that at spp.gov. It's called Security and Prosperity Partnership. I guess the point is in the last 2 minutes of the show is what you're saying is why should we have to bring ourselves down to everybody else's level to be even with them? Why not bring them up to our level? In other words, why should we have to sacrifice or ignore I'm going to get back to illegal aliens. Why should I have to be turned down for a job because I don't speak Spanish to deliver auto parts?
Well, exactly what I'm saying. I say we do have to come down somewhat. But we don't have to come down nearly as far as they have to come up. But it's a lot easier for them to come bring their economy up because it's so far down from the rest of the whole world, basically. But we all, it's a huge difference between countries who are right next to each other than us trying to worry about, Pakistan or the Haiti or someplace like that. That's not a concern that we need to worry too much about. But we do have to worry about bringing their level up. However it works, ours down and theirs up, they have to be equalized for this problem to resolve itself. And no amount of laws or protecting the border is going to equalize that until the economy does.
Well, okay, you make an excellent point. Put the carrot on the other side of the fence. Maybe offer Mexico particularly Mexico because that's where the majority of them are coming. Offer them to, we'll give you this financial aid if you go ahead and set up incentives. And that is the wrong tag.
It's really loud. I lost you. But anyway, we're running out of time, folks. God, I can't believe this. And I didn't even get into a couple of things. I got a couple of things that I want to talk about next week. I want to talk about Oregon. And on a better note, that Oregon is number one in something. We have more electric cars in Oregon than any other state in the union. And then we'll talk about that next week. But I think that's a neat thing myself. I'm really into the electrical thing. So,
join us again next Saturday, 10 a.m. And if you have any questions, comments, send us an email, talk@gearradio.com. See you next Saturday.
Bye.
Check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.